Well, we are currently studying this concept called Judeo-Christianity. And in our last broadcast, I was trying to give you some quotes from the Jews themselves, and particularly we ended up with a Rabbi Boekster who said that Judaism is not the religion of the Bible. That's right, he said Judaism is not the religion of the Bible. And again, don't get mad at me over these things. It's the Jews' writings themselves that I'm quoting you. I also talked about a man who wrote in the Jewish paper called The Jewish World for March 1923, where the following is written. Remember, this is a Jewish paper. It's called The Jewish World. It's their writings again. It says, quote, "Fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian. Fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian. So we have to ask ourselves, folks, if the Jews believe that Judaism is anti-Christian, then the doctrines of Christianity must be anti-Judaism. Wouldn't you agree with that?" Well, certainly they are. Another prominent Jewish leader and scholar named Louis Finkelstein, a good Jewish name, also gave us some further insight on the subject of Judaism, which he calls Phariseeism. Let's see if we can find out a little bit about Rabbi Finkelstein, though. He was chosen in 1937 by the Jewish communities of the world as one of the top 120 Jews who best represent a, listen to this, a lamp of Judaism to the world. For many years, he headed the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. That's quite an important position. And he wrote a book. And in the foreword of the first edition to his book, entitled The Pharisees, this is what he writes. Let me read this to you. "Phariseeism became Talmudism. Talmudism became medieval rabbinism. And medieval rabbinism became modern rabbinism. But throughout these changes in name, the spirit of the ancient Pharisees survives unaltered, from Palestine to Babylonia, from Babylonia to North Africa, Italy, Spain, France, and Germany, from these to Poland, Russia, and Eastern Europe generally, ancient Phariseeism has wandered, and demonstrates the enduring importance which attaches to Phariseeism as a religious movement." That word rabbinism kind of bothers me. It's too much like a dog that's mad. But notice here that there's no mention of Christianity, and we are told that Talmudism is rabbinism and Phariseeism. And of course, we know that Talmudism and Phariseeism is what we today call Judaism. Now, I want to go again to the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, a very prominent dictionary used by many, many Christians and leaders. And it states of these Pharisees, "It may be said that the Pharisees made these contributions to Judaism so that ultimately Phariseeism and Judaism became almost synonymous," and I would tell you that they are synonymous. "The first one of these is Jewish legalism, which began in earnest after the Babylonian captivity. The Pharisees studied the traditional exegesis of the law and made it a part of Jewish thought. They formalized the religion of the scribes and placed it into practice. This is why the scribes and Pharisees are often mentioned together in the New Testament. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the Jews." Going on with this quote out of the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, it states, "A third contributing factor to Phariseeism was the development and organization of the Jewish religion itself after the captivity. Formulation and adaptation of Mosaic law by scribe and rabbi, increased tradition, and a more rabid," there's that funny word again, "a more rabid separatism from almost everything resulted in almost a new religion, much the opposite from that handed down in the covenant by the prophets. Phariseeism epitomized this spirit." Now I want to just read the last part of that to you again. Because it says here that their notes and their scribes and what have you called for or made a more rabid separatism from almost everything and resulted in a new religion, much the opposite from what had been handed down in the covenant by the prophet. So even Zondervan's Pictorial Dictionary understands that Phariseeism, that Judaism, is not what was handed down by the covenant of the prophets. I guess the point I want to make sure everyone understands is that prior to the Babylonian captivity, the children of Israel practice a religion we should probably call Israelism or Hebrewism, for it was almost exclusively practiced by the children of Israel, who were commonly called Hebrews, not Jews. But with the inception of Talmudism, or the traditions of the elders, which was adopted by the Pharisees around the return of Babylon, Hebrewism was replaced with a new and different religion called Judaism. Very simple. Now, I want to briefly go into horticulture for a minute, because it's a common practice to take certain trees which have hardy roots and plant them and let them grow up until they reach a certain age. Then the trunk is cut off of this tree, and a good fruit-producing tree is grafted to the trunk of the tree having the roots in the ground. So let's assume in our case that the tree with the good roots is a thorny tree, and the fruit is an apple tree. So once the apple tree has been grafted to the trunk of this thorny tree, and several years pass by, the tree will mature, and it will not produce thorns, it produces apples. The tree will look like an apple tree, and it will produce apples, and it will never look like a thorn tree, even though it has the roots of a thorn tree. Now, this process can also be reversed. That is, we can take the roots of an apple tree and graft to those roots a thorn tree, and when it matures, it will not look like an apple tree nor produce apples. It will be a thorn tree and produce nothing but barbed thorns. Now, I don't know whether it really works between thorns and apples or not, but I'm just trying to give you the concept of how they do this sort of thing. So Christianity then has its roots in the writings of Moses, the major and the minor prophets, and all the other books of the Old as well as the New Testament. True Christianity, that which was understood by the apostles, is Hebrewism, Israelism, plus the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Christianity does not begin with the Gospel of Matthew, otherwise it has no roots. But it begins with the book of Genesis. Judaism does not have these same roots. However, it could be stated that Judaism at least had some rootish effect in the first five books of the Bible, that is what they call the Torah. However, from these books, they made their own notes, their own commentaries, and once they formalized their own notes and their own commentaries, they had no further need for the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible were only used as a guide to write their own religion. Even though it is not true that there's common roots, let us assume for a minute that Judaism and Christianity again had their origin in the first five books of the Bible. The Jews took a look at the roots and decided they didn't like them. They liked some of them, but they didn't like others. So they improvised and used these roots as a guide, and they made notes and commentaries, and they came up with their own religion. And what they ended up, folks, with is a new set of roots. However, we've already made the assumption that the books of Moses are the roots of both religions, so let's continue with that assumption. So then the Jews then looked at the roots and saw that these roots produced apples, and they decided they didn't like apples. So they cut the trunk of the tree off, and they grafted to it their own tree, a thorn tree. That's right, you guessed it. So based on our assumption, the Jews started from the same roots, but what happened? Judaism matured from the root of an apple tree, and yet it is still a thorn tree which produces corrupt fruit of thorns and cannot produce the good fruit of an apple tree. And it can never, 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 never produce good fruit until the trunk is cut off and the trunk of an apple tree is grafted back onto the roots of the apple tree where it belongs. Now, Christ explained this principle. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. I'm running a little low on time, so I'm going to have to hurry here. I'm going to look at verse 16, 17, and 18. "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." Now, what these false prophets that we're talking to here, that Christ is talking to, he's not talking about Buddhist, Hindus, and Islamic people. No, the false prophets of the days of Christ he was speaking about were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, and their teachings had the effects of leaven. As the thorn can only produce thorns, not grapes, and as the thistle produces prickles, not figs, so the teachers of Judaism produces thorny, prickly fruit of degeneracy. But what happened to Christianity? Well, Christianity grew from the first five books of the Bible. They sprouted strong branches and with the writings of the prophets and finally bloomed with the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, and today is producing good fruit in the form of huge, huge apples. Thus we see that Judaism is a religion based upon the traditions of man. It's not based upon the Word of God. And any religion based on the traditions of man can never produce good fruit for our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Once again, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is an extreme difference between Judaism and Christianity, and once that is understood, it can also be understood that there can be no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. There can be no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. Now, if you have sensitive ears, I want you to close them because I'm going to be rather blunt at this time. You see, referring to Judeo-Christianity is like calling a woman a virgin whore. If a woman is a virgin, she cannot be a whore, and if she is a whore, she certainly cannot be a virgin. A woman can be one or the other, but not both, and she may have had the best of upbringing in the world, that is, roots. And likewise with Judaism and Christianity, for they, like virgins and whores, are diametrically opposites. If a person accepts Judaism, they must reject Christian ethics and traditions. And when a person accepts Christianity, they must reject Judaism and its ethics and traditions.